Alexandra.
Well, both of these verses is pretty long, and actually Prabhupada explains so beautifully this verse in his purport. Reading, I felt that this is really no need. Just reading Prabhupada's purport itself will be a class, actually, huh? But nonetheless, since I'm asked, I will share some of my own experience, realizations of this verse, that's what the Lord is saying in this particular verse, and Prabhupada is explaining nicely. But this particular, and so we will read parts of this purport as we go along. But I particularly want to read here a couple things, right, in this first paragraph, where Prabhupada says, the Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with Supreme Spiritual Personality, and to teach one how to get back home, back to Godhead. So this is what Prabhupada reminds us, why Bhagavad Gita is so important for all of us. Every human being, Lord has given us higher level of intelligence than the animals. And only in the human form of life we can go back to Godhead. And how do we go to God, back to Godhead? Bhagavad Gita, that information, that guidance, that path is shown to us. We must first realize why we are here. How did we end up coming to this miserable material existence? Because of the root cause, of course the apparent cause is because of our karmas from previous lives, we are here. But the root cause, the Shastra says, and our Acharya explained, is the ignorance, avidya. Avidya of what? Ignorance of what? Ignorance of our true identity. As Prabhupada explains, our true identity, we are not this body, we are spirit soul. So our true identity is spiritual identity. And we have an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So we need to regain our remembrance of Krishna. We have forgotten Krishna because we wanted to endure independent of Krishna. That's why we are placed in this material existence. So Bhagavad Gita shows us that it removes that particular ignorance from us. It helps us regain our lost remembrance of Sri Krishna, our relationship with Sri Krishna. So that is what, and another important, in fact most important aspect of Bhagavad Gita, other than that it is the summation, is the summary of the entire Vedic scriptures, But the real importance that it is spoken directly in the lotus mouth of the Supreme Personality of Supreme Authority, Shri Krishna himself here. So that is the real importance of it. And then Prabhupada explains that these particular verse, 1155, chapter 11, text 55, the final concluding verse, is the essence. This verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So how it is so? Prabhupada actually elaborates in the rest of the purport, and we'll read some portions of it as we discuss particular topics. Since it's the final verse, I thought it might be appropriate to also briefly sort of review the entire chapter. But this chapter, since this verse comes, and this verse particularly is an essence of Bhagavad Gita, clearly this whole chapter is also very, very important actually. So let's kind of very briefly recap the major outlines of this chapter. the connecting verses to this chapter from previous chapters, chapter 9, Maya Tatam Savam Idam, 9-4, Maya Tatam Savam Idam, Krishna says, Jagat Avyakta Murtina. Krishna says that I pervade the entire universe by my unmanifest form, the super soul form that he said that. And then actually in chapter 10, he describes at Arjuna's request all his vibhutis, all his opulence. And then in 10:42 actually, he says, Ekam Eka Amshena, when Arjuna requested him, please summarize to us your major aspect of opulence, vibhutis, because he is pervading the entire universe by his unmanifest forms. So there Krishna, after describing some 82 opulences, then he says in chapter 10:42 that why there is no need for me to go through all the details. He says, but what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge with a single fragment of myself, ekam amshena. Ekam amshena means just single fragment of myself. I pervade and support this entire universe. So now in chapter 11, Arjuna is requesting Krishna that he wanted to see the form of Krishna by which he pervades the entire universe in this unmanifest form. How does he do that? You know, and actually more important reason that he is doing that, later on we will find out that that is the universal form, the Virat Rupa or Vishwa Rupa. As a devotee of Shri Krishna, eternal associate, he had no need to see Krishna's universal form because he is a devotee. And Prabhupada explains the universal form is really actually it's a godless display in his own words, because this is a temporary manifestation. Only for the purpose of creation Krishna assumes this Virat Rupa. It is no significance other than that, you know. But nonetheless, Arjuna asked this question for a couple of reasons at least. That for materially oriented people, materially oriented conception of people, they can accept Krishna's supremacy only when they see this material manifestation. So Krishna materially manifests in this Virat Rupa, the gigantic, the universal body of Krishna, you know. So everything in there is part of Krishna's body. And another more important reason we also heard from Pansadu Prabhu also explained to us that the other reason Arjuna asked is to establish a criterion, because in the future there are people who falsely claim, the imposters, that they are Krishna, they are the Supreme God. So how do we accept them? What is the proof? So here, if one is supreme, then he should be willing to demonstrate his Virat Rupa. So this is what that reason that Arjuna asked him to also do that, to prevent us, especially guiding lines, how to accept somebody who is incarnation, true incarnation of Krishna. So when Arjuna requested Krishna first as a general pattern, when he wants to say something important, he first glorifies, so he tells him what to expect. He describes what his universal form is going to be, and then he says that Arjuna, with your present eyes, you cannot see that form. You need a divine vision, and that's why he gives a divine vision to Arjuna. Actually, Arjuna is the pure devotee of the Lord. He doesn't need that because he can see Krishna as he is, his original form. And that we come to the very end of this chapter, text 50 to 54. There, those are the verses we really find out what is Krishna's original form, what Krishna's real form, this two-armed form, then you can see why does he need divine form. So Acharya explained that actually his vision had to be downgraded actually, you know, to see this grand form. So here we see the description of Lord Virat Rupa, Vishwa Rupa. First, Sanjaya is describing Arjuna's vision to Dhritarashtra in Hastinapur Palace in Hastinapur, and says what he says, incredible, the major features of the Virat Rupa, that it is immeasurable, apameyam. Thousands and thousands of eyes, thousands and thousands of ears, thousands and thousands of faces, heads, and so on like that. It's just immeasurable. All the different incarnations, all the different living entities, everything was presented right there in one place. And then it was incredible effulgence. As if Sanjay is giving some example, as if hundreds and thousands of suns automatically at the same time rising from the horizon, what kind of dazzling effulgence would be there if that was like that actually, you know? And then a third important feature of that universal form was that everything that you imagine, time and space, completely frozen in one place. Just imagine, just look at the time zones, America, India, Japan, Singapore, everything right there frozen in one place. Just Arjuna was sitting there at the battlefront in Kurukshetra, and Krishna was standing by him in the chariot, and right in front of him Virat Rupa was showing entire universe right in the same place. All the time zones, everything is frozen. All the space, spatial things that we just put everything together. So that could only be done by the Supreme Lord Himself, and only one who is the origin of everything that was shown. And then, you know, of course, Arjuna goes through the different mood changes. First, he goes through this bewilderment, wonder, and then that turns into actually a very frightful mood also when he actually asks the Virat Rupa, when he sees this gigantic form, tremendous form, he says, "Who are you? What's your mission?" And then Krishna says that Virat Rupa discloses that kalosmi lokakshayat, lokakshayat kritya pravrto, that I am the time and I am here, the great destroyer, the great annihilator of everything and every being right here except you Pandavas. So, and then you could see that Krishna also depicting past, present, future right there. The outcome of the war also disclosed to him, that all these great warriors on the side of his opponents, they were just going to be crushed, they were destined to be killed. So that Arjuna could see right there, you know. And, you know, this gigantic molars, teeth, he could see the skulls of these warriors being crushed. So that was a horrible, horrible vision for Arjuna to behold, you know, to behold. And he requests, kindly Lord, please, you know, I'm happy that you showed to us, but please withdraw this very, very fearful form and kindly show to me, kindly return to first, you know, this four-armed Narayana form, carrying his four-armed Shakti Chakra Gada Padma. And then Krishna, you know, Arjuna wanted him to return to his original form, the two-armed form that he's used to see him, which is called Saumya Rupa, very, very pleasing, just like the moon, that kind of form. So there, you know, Krishna says that that brings us to the concluding verses, which I really wanted to talk about. So in Virat Rupa also he says that actually very similar, same way he says about text 53 also, that this universal form is very, very rare. Nobody has ever seen before. Even one who has studied Vedas, who has observed austerities or great charities, they are also unable to see this form. Same thing repeats when Krishna returns to his true arm form also. In fact, actually, one who is a devotee already has previously done all these things. That's why he came to devotional platform. And that is actually disclosed by Lord Kapila Dev, who is the incarnation of Krishna. And that is described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Kapila Dev is instructing his mother Devahuti. And there he also says that such a devotee, pure devotees, they don't come to devotional platform unless and until they have already done all these things, you know, studied Vedas, done all these great charities and austerities, everything they have done, that. So they already have that. That is not a requirement. But what is being disclosed here? Krishna says that this my two-armed form is so rare that even the devas, the demigods, even for them it is very, very rare. So that is what we first learn. The real secret behind that this two-armed form that I just we talked about, we discussed in the last week's class, that there is Krishna's original form. That's the form in which he is present in his eternally Golok Vrindavan Dham. And actually this Vrindavan on the earth, part of India, present India, is actually replica of that particular Vrindavan Dham. And that Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, is the real form. How, in what way that's different than these Narayana forms? So that's what we discussed last week. And just to rehash some important points of that, that all the other incarnations, all the other expansions of Krishna, Krishna is the fountain head, he is the origin of all the incarnations. So that's called avatari versus avatara. Avatara, all the Narayana expansions, hundreds and hundreds of Narayana, Vishnu expansions, all these things. Then all other expansions actually emanate, they emanate from this two-armed Krishna form, original form. So there we learn actually a very, very important aspect of it, and there's a caveat about that, and I want to explain that first, that this two-armed form that Krishna says that can be seen only by undivided, unalloyed devotional service. That he says in verse 54. 53 and 54 actually glorifies the pure devotional service. Only through pure devotional service one can hope to see, what one is fortunate enough to see, Krishna's original form, two-armed form. Now everybody saw Krishna when he was on this planet, but nobody could see as he is. He not necessarily only Supreme Personality Godhead. He is the Supreme Personality Godhead, but he is that loving personality. He, in Akhil Rasamrita Sindhu, he is described by Srila Rupa Goswami that he is the Akhil Rasamrita Sindhu. He is the ocean of the nectar, eternal nectar. The ocean of eternal rasa, the mellows. How intimately he interacts with his devotees. Devotees can personally see close to him. He can identify Krishna as his friend, as very, very intimate friend, as his benevolent master, as also, not only that, he can be his son also, very devoted son also. And above all, he can be also, Krishna can be one's lover also. That kind of atmiyata, you know, it's one thing to know somebody who is very supreme. He is the supreme creator of all the universes, and that's why he could demonstrate that universal form. So, and then Krishna himself says in the 4 verses also that Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mata Sarvam Pravartate, that I am the origin of everything, both material and spiritual, and from me everything emanates, and nothing is beyond him. No truth is superior to him, he says that. As if it is a pole of necklace. These poles are held together by a thread that cannot be seen. If the thread is taken away, the poles will just fall down. Same way, all these different planetary systems are held together because Krishna and the super soul is always there to fill us, which is the binding factor. So he is the supreme, of this there is no doubt. But the important point here, that for devotees, that we don't love, we don't. Hare Krishna. The important. Oh my God. The important point is here that Krishna is the supreme. It's not just because he's supreme that I love him. It's that it can be just like a business relationship. That once you find out that your friend, somebody who is great, is your very loving friend. But suddenly you find out he's a billionaire or a very, very powerful personality. How does that affect? Because just because he's a great personality or very, very billionaire, you know, very rich person, that's not the cause of my friendship with him. He is my friend because he is my friend. Not that he being a billionaire or he being a powerful person, that's just a fact that has nothing to do with my love for my friend. So devotees also has no regard that Krishna is the supreme. But yes, it is important for the people who are on a material platform, those who have no concept Krishna as a great transcendental personality, such a loving personality, they have no concept, they cannot understand, they cannot grasp. So for them, sometimes it is necessary that Prabhupada in Bhagavatam, he explains to us, and that is the reason why Parikshit Maharaj, when he had only 7 days to live, and yet he asked Sukadeva Goswami to explain to him the creation, Srushti Tattva. And so sometimes one wonder, why would Parikshit Maharaj do that? He had only 7 days to live. Why did he want to just find out about the creation tattva? Because Prabhupada explains that for the benefit of general mass of people who are materially oriented, they can relate only in material terms, they have to be convinced that when Krishna is the supreme creator, he created this gigantic universe, not one, but billions of universes. Then only we have some idea how great Krishna is, you know. So sometimes that is necessary for the beginners before they come to devotional platform. So for them it is necessary, you know. But those who are devotees, for them it is not necessary. So here Krishna is so elaborately explained in the Shastra, Bhagavatam, and especially those who are such highly elevated souls, very, very intimate associate, eternal associate of Krishna, who directly descend to this earth when Krishna enacts his pastime as part of his entourage. And above all, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Krishna himself, but he came to us in a very, very compassionate mood in the form of his own devotee to show to us really what a devotee is like to you.
to show us how we can serve, how we ought to serve Krishna as a devotee. He, Krishna himself is coming that form to teach us that. So that is what the important form. So there we learn Sri Rupa Goswami in Ujjwal Nilamani and such scriptures, very innovative describing Krishna's pastimes. So it happens in the Bhagavatam 10th canto is described when Rasalila was going on. In the middle of Rasalila, Krishna left that Rasalila because he wanted to be left alone with Srimati Radharani. So he hides himself, he leaves and hides himself in a grove and waiting for Srimati Radharani to walk by. So in the meantime, these other gopis, because Krishna had multiplied billions of times, was a billion gopis, so that each gopi thought that Krishna is dancing with them alone, actually. You know? So when suddenly Krishna disappeared, the gopis also in great lamentation, they start looking for him, and then they find Krishna hiding in the grove. So Krishna, to hide from the gopis, suddenly assumes, a four-armed Narayana form, So gopis first saw Krishna and then turning that. See, but look at the gopis. They saw this four-armed Narayana form, the legal, majestic form. Very, very powerful Narayana form. They could have asked anything they wanted at that time, but they were least bothered about that. Only thing that they asked the Supreme Lord Lord Narayana, that please, Lord Narayana, please remove our lamentation because we are suffering. We are feeling the great pain of separation from Krishna. Please restore Krishna among us so that this lamentation can go away. And then they simply walked away from the Supreme Lord in the Narayana form, four-armed Narayana form. So that being God, that did not any way influence the gopis. So that's called gopi bhava, However, when Srimati Radharani walked by that point, Krishna, even though he tried his best, could not maintain his four-armed form. And then he had to return, stay, come back in his two-armed form. So that's what this verse again talks about, that it's only in front of such devotees that great original form, such form of devotee Krishna is really is at the service of his devotees. Actually, he assumes a subordinate role, even like here in Bhagavad, the cover, if you see that Krishna serving Arjuna, his devotee, as the chauffeur, charioteer. Like that. So here the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is assuming that form for his devotee. So that is his original form. That is the way he is. That is the way he is in eternal goal of Vrindavan Dham. So one can relate regardless of him being the Supreme. So that is what really attracts devotees. So how to get that, how to attain that Supreme form? Because Krishna says it's very, very rare. So that is what he discloses in this final verse 55. In a practical terms, exactly how we can attain him, that loving form, that we can relate our own, that we can be his friend, that we can be his parents, that we can be his lover, that kind of form, that his majestic, regal Narayana form, that has nothing to do with, that's great, but he cannot be mine. I cannot serve him. I cannot call him my friend. That Krishna, how he can be mine? So that is what in text 55, in the final verse, that's revealed by Krishna himself. And that there are practical ways that we can do that. And that is also a build-up for the next chapter, chapter 12, text 8 to 12. He shows us how to become such an ananya devotee. So only when we are ananya, unalloyed devotee, unalloyed means Krishna Prabhupada actually gives in purport, anya abhilashita shunyam, nan karmadi anavritam, anukulayena krishnanu, shivanam bhaktir uttama. So that kind of devotional service, when their all other material desires, all other desires should be shunya, should be zero. Even it should be free from any kind of fruitive activities or any kind of mental speculative knowledge. And that should be discharge, that should, that kind of pure devotional should be discharged. That which is favorable to Krishna, as Krishna desires, that should be done. That, so that is what really called a pure devotional service. So that kind of pure devotional service, how one can render, and only when you render such pure devotional service, you can attain that original Krishna, who is so loving form, very intimately. He goes out of his way to protect his devotees, and his devotees, he even takes subordinate role. So that kind of original avatari, who is all other expansion, all everything is there, is right submerged within himself, you know. But with his devotees, he plays that kind of role. So that's what, so there are five actually important points Krishna mentions. And Prabhupada in his purport, each paragraph deals with that, each of these five points, and then final paragraph actually sort of reviews this entire chapter. So these five terms are this: mat karma krit. Mat karma means work for me, Krishna says. Very, very practical way. And what is that? What is the meaning of that? So that is one aspect. And then says mat paramo. Consider me, accept me as the supreme. Then says third item, mad bhakta, become my devotee. Fourth, sangha vajitaha, give up asat sangha, give up the association of non-devotees. And Prabhupada actually even extends that definition further into as if that is, become free from frugal activities, and also become free from this speculative knowledge. And then the fifth and the final item is nirvaira. It means do not be animosity with any living entity, let alone human beings. Even any living and even the insignificant ant, we should not be animosity. It should be friendly to every living entities. So these five items, if we practice, we cultivate, then we can attain to such pure devotional service that which he elaborates in the next chapter actually. So what is the one which really sort of played a very central role in my own life is this first term, mat karma, mat karma krita. Krishna says, you perform, you act for my pleasure. See, Arjuna, he asked repeatedly, five, before he was giving a lot of other reasons, that because you are a warrior, it's your duty, you should not neglect your duties, like that, other kind of reasons he gives, you know. To negate Arjuna's argument not to fight, because he thought that he might be committing sins by killing his own people. But all this argument, finally Krishna tells him that, I want you to fight, you know. He said that Mahi Arpita Mano Buddhi, you offer your mind intelligence to me in just Yudhya Mam while Mam Anusmara, while remembering me, you fight for my cause. So Arjuna's prescribed duty before as a warrior, because as a warrior his duty was to fight a war, to preserve justice. But now that very same prescribed duty becomes his devotional service. Because Krishna desired for him to fight, regardless of whether he wins the war or loses the war, whether he loses his life or not, doesn't matter. Because Krishna desires. So that is what we call, that is what's called mat karma, mat fighting, doing it, working it for Krishna. And here, actually Prabhupada elaborates further, and I just want to read a couple of sentences for that. No work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna Karma. One may be engaged in various activities, but one should not be attached to the results of his work. The results should be done only for him. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. Then he said, this work for Krishna, instead of constructing a big building for his sense verification, he can construct a nice temple for Krishna, and he can install the deity of Krishna and arrange for the deity's service, as is outlined in the authorized books. And this is all Krishna karma. One should not be attached to the results of his work. So what Prabhupada is explaining,
the devotees are busily engaged in preaching word, bringing others on a devotional path. So if you can't become yourself a devotee, then the next best thing that you should actually help propagate Krishna consciousness. And a very practical way that as Prabhupada explains, if you have lots of money, then you can please donate that money to the devotees so that temples can be built, lot of people can come and visit, and visiting the temple itself is forms one of the important 64 angas of pure devotional service. Simply coming to the temple, ringing the bell, paying obeisance to the Lord, beholding the Lord's beautiful form, smelling the flower offered to the Lord, these all forms actually the activities of pure devotional service. And then, you know, the topmost Krishna identifies next chapter actually. The topmost pure devotional service, the topmost goal is to fix your mind on Krishna. Thereby you can actually live with Krishna. But if you cannot do that, the next best, you practice sadhana bhakti, practice devotional service. So one of the 64 angas of this that I just described to you, that you can do. But even if you cannot become a practicing devotee, if you cannot accept initiation for variety of reasons, then the third best thing, which is a direct process on your way to become such a pure devotee, and as a result of when you become a pure devotee, you get to attain that beautiful, with that beautiful and very loving personality, Shri Krishna, who is such a loving person, who can be your friend, who can be your lover, who can be your child. That Krishna that you can have by such pure devotional service. So that third best thing is this. And most of us actually can come by this way actually. And I came to this devotional platform also by same way actually. Some devotee engaged me in Krishna service. So in our temple also we do the same thing. You know, sometimes we don't even show willingness to come to the temple. Sometimes we come to the temple because our friend happens to be visiting a temple. He said, why don't you come with us? So just to keep a social obligation alive, we just to make him feel happy, we come to the temple actually. So I know somebody is here actually. Today they just said, I came to here just for you actually. And because I met her in elsewhere. And I'm so glad that now she is also recognizing that it was a good thing that she came to the temple, she got to hear Krishna Katha. So many of us, including myself, first when I visited the temple, I came just for the same reason, just to maintain, because I gave that word somewhere, maintain the social obligation. We come to the temple, and suddenly behold, when we get to the temple, when we do all these things, and that again the sukriti is built on it, and then the devotees engages in the service. If your Mataji is, you know, there's a priest, Mataji, can you help us cut vegetables or peeling potatoes? And Prabhuji, can you please help us helping these activities, that activities? And if you are a computer person, can you help us to keep accounting and all these things? This kind of whatever expertise abilities that you have, you can help us by that. And sometimes initially when we do that without even realizing that, but suddenly we begin to relish even little things we can do, cutting vegetables for Krishna's garden, you know, Krishna's kitchen, Radharani's kitchen. We actually enjoy same work we despise in our, you know, wife studies that, would you please help us cut vegetables? We deny that. But cutting vegetables in temple, it just gives incredible enjoyment you get that. You know, making garments, simple things, very, very simple things. So that is what we do that, you know. And that really brings us to such devotional platform. And then eventually, when we further associate with devotees, we become devotees. And eventually we take initiation. And then we become a serious devotee. And that's how, when we become a student, just disciple, accepting a spiritual initiation, then we are on that path, and then just we are on our way back to going to spiritual world, you know. So that's what Krishna talks about, what mat karma, mat krita karma, you know. Doing it for me, work for me. So devotees help us to bring us on the devotional platform that way. And then Krishna, the second point, important point, he makes mat parama supreme, actually. And that
also Brahma Nityan explains how you get and that Mad Bhakta become my devotee simply following this ninefold devotional service, you know. Simply begin with simply hearing. Very, very simple fact. Anybody can do and everybody can do that. Simply hearing Krishna Katha. Shunatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Chintana. Vidyantasto Bhadrani Vidunoti Surut Satam. Simply hearing Krishna Katha as we are doing right now. Krishna sitting in your heart, his super soul begins to remove all the inauspicious things from your heart. And that in turn brings, purifies your lower modes of material nature, like mode of passion and ignorance. The outer manifestation is this karma, krodha, lobha, mada, moha, matsara, which are the six enemies of the mind. So Krishna takes away from the lower modes, brings us to sattva guna, sattvam sanjayate jnanam, sattvam yad brahma darshanam. Only when we come to sattva guna, then we can become receptive to become Krishna katha, hear Krishna katha, we become devotee. So first important thing that he brings us, simply when we hear, he brings us to this sattva guna, and then we become receptive, we become qualified to go back to spiritual world, you know. And then sangha vajita, you must avoid the association with non-devotees who do not show any interest in Krishna consciousness. And that is what I was telling this particular person also who came to the temple today and telling me that, you know, I came for you, but no, you didn't come for me. Krishna desired you, Krishna wanted you to come here. And Krishna arranged your life in such a way, the same person giving different variety of reasons that I could not come for this reason or that reason. Suddenly Krishna, when you so desire that initially doing for some other purpose, but nonetheless the person comes to the temple, then Krishna makes that thing happen. Because Krishna is the time. When you say I don't have a time, Krishna is being a time. He helps us. He rearranges our life. So these people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, you should avoid them and associate with devotees who will bring you that devotional platform. And automatically when you come to devotional platform, automatically those non-devotees will themselves leave you alone. There's a no Prabhuji, you know, you stop receiving invitations from them, all the social things, activities, birthday parties and that parties and so on parties like that. So more and more other devotees will invite you to such satsang programs, you know. So that is what happens. Very, very practical, very extremely practical things that Krishna is describing. How you can become the same pure devotee by which you can have him as his son, you know, and all these intimate rasas. And Krishna actually can be conquered by such devotional service. Then he talks about nirvairaha. See, when you become a devotee, you want to preach to others, you want to make others devotees. So how can anybody else be your enemy? So for a devotee, nobody is his enemy. In fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj, his other name was Ajat Shatru. Ajat Shatru means his enemy was never born. So for Yudhishthira Maharaj, Duryodhana was not an enemy. For Duryodhana, he was an enemy. But for Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was not an enemy. Because he sees everyone as Krishna's servant. Krishna is sitting in everyone's heart. He cannot see anybody as his enemy. You know, he sees like any other living, and what to speak of other humans? He sees even an human ant, because in ant's heart also Krishna resides. He recognizes that fact. So even ants also he protects that. So for a devotee, just cannot be any enemies. So that is the power, that is the potency of becoming a devotee. Simply work for Krishna, work for those devotees who are asking you to come to temple. Just come once a while. When you deepen, then when you just come once a while, you will automatically develop that beautiful, that interest, or your own interest will come to you within you and will bring you more often to the temple. And then you will, one day will come, you will bring other devotees, other members of your friends and relatives bring the temple. And this brings exponentially. More you make devotees, more your own devotional service becomes strengthened. And that pleases Krishna more. In fact, towards the very end, in 18th chapter, he talks about that one who explains this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to others, to him, I give him pure devotional service, which is so rare. Pure devotional service is very, very rare.
and that he gives only by his mercy or his devotee's mercy that you can get such service. So that is the glory of such pure devotional service. And we can all become pure devotees. Each and every soul sitting here in this temple, believe me that you didn't come here by any accidents. You came here by Krishna's arrangement. By some Ajnana Siddhanti that was built in you, by some devotees in the past, that is why you happen to be coming here today. So don't underestimate your great fortune, you being here, those who are coming for the first time in this temple. You are a very, very, very fortunate soul. And you are on the path to become a pure devotee. And eventually you will go back to spiritual world within the foreseeable time. So with that, I will stop here and see if there are any questions. And thank you very much. Hari Bol. All glory to Shri Prabhupada. All glory to Bhagavad, all glory to Shri Prabhupada. Yes, anybody. Either it's Krishna clear, everybody's devotee, or I must be bombed out in my class.
Oh,
one
question. You say you should avoid the company of non-devotees.
Yes.
Then how do you bring them to Krishna consciousness if you avoid them? How do you adopt? It's like either you be in their contact and try to bring them towards the fortunate part of the
person. Very important question here. Prabhuji is asking, how do you make others to come to the temple? Is that the question? How do you help them others to come to the temple? Because we said here that we should avoid associating with non-devotees. So you are bringing non-devotees into the temple and hopefully they will become devotees, right? That's your purpose, right? So there is a built-in contradiction here, right? But devotees, Krishna says that you should not preach this knowledge to those who are atheists, to those who are not devotees. He says, but Krishna's devotees are much more merciful. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated by his own example. Krishna says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freely distributed Krishna consciousness to everyone. And in fact, he's a patita pavana. Even the most fallen souls, he preached Krishna consciousness, Jagai Madai. So, as a devotee, it's our duty to bring to devotees. In fact, Prabhupada said this is the greatest welfare activity actually. That's the greatest good things that you can do to people in general. So how do you do that? So when Prabhupada explains, in today's society, modern society, you cannot say that you will not associate with non-devotees. Worldly kind of people, Janasangha. You have to track, let's say for your job, at the job, office place. But what it means, you don't associate with them intimately. So obviously you have some contact acquaintances, and you have some friends, something on material platform. So, don't you, I'm going to the temple, and today is my son's birthday, or my wife's birthday, and I'm celebrating because I'm a devotee, I have to do it at the temple. And sure enough, even somebody who doesn't want to come to the temple because he wants to keep contact with his social occasion. So such occasion is built and bring them. So that is what happens. A mother wants to give, you know, a medicine to the child. Child would not take. No, no, it's very bitter. So mother puts it in a candy form and gives the child, and child begins to taste. So tricks him. So that's where it's what's tricking, actually. So by social obligation or whatever reasons, you bring them. So that is what, that's the way to do it, you know. And then devotees actually go out. Sankirtan Yajna. They out, go in the streets and do service, chanting. So people, when they hear this great, great melodious way of singing Hare Krishna Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. When they simply hear and devotees dancing, they get affected.
there is the potency. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, that Krishna has invested his potency in this mantra, and that will bring, see that, that's how Prabhupada brought those hippies in America to Krishna Kaur platform. They got attracted the way when Prabhupada danced. Actually Prabhupada himself danced on the streets. So that is what they do. Prabhupada chose to go out of their way. So there are variety of many, many ways distributing Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's books, you know, I heard stories that, you know, Gopinath Prabhupada was telling me that somebody got, they became a devotee simply finding Bhagavad Gita, and that was somebody else in his family found Bhagavad Gita in a Rati store, you know Rati store, right? And one of his family member, he did not bother him, but this particular member read and he became a devotee, and he met devotee other members of his family. So this is what the power of pure devotee. Pure devotee, the moment association can bring wonders. So this is how we do that. You know. Is that okay, Prabhu? Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for wonderful question. Prabhu, you mentioned that the first thing that the topmost is to engage your mind in for Krishna and thinking of him, and then you said that if it is not possible, then one should work for Krishna. So my question was that why I think working for Krishna is considered lower than thinking for Krishna.
No, Prabhuji, it's not lower in that sense actually. The topmost plant, if you are going to see in chapter 12, next chapter, verses 8 through 12, the topmost, you fix your mind on Krishna. So only high class devotees, pure devotees are able to do that. So that in that way is top class. If you cannot do that, Krishna says, then you just practice sadhana bhakti. If sadhana bhakti, what is sadhana bhakti? Engaging your senses in Krishna's service, in the forest, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, following the shastra. So that is second level. And then that you cannot do, then you work for Krishna. So it's not, don't consider that as inferior in that sense. Inferior because we are not a devotee as yet. Somebody who is not a devotee as yet, and becoming a devotee by that route, so I won't consider that inferior path at all actually. Because they themselves certainly cannot become an overnight pure devotee unless Krishna directly shows that mercy. You know. Krishna has a power, and Krishna's pure devotee has a power. So, recommended procedure is to directly become engaged in devotional service. You don't have to go step by step. But there are people who are not ready yet for a variety of reasons. The modes of material nature working against them. They might be low in the mode of passion and ignorance. So for those people, to bring them on the devotional platform, this is the way Krishna shows us that they can be brought to a pure devotional platform. So let me share you the practical example. This is just today. I've been trying to cultivate my nephew, who's a computer professional, IT professional. I assume that you are also in the same thing, information technologies. And we do this teaching on the internet. We conduct this Bhakti Shastri class, Bhakti Vaibhav classes on the internet. And students from different parts of the world, like Japan, Singapore, Australia, and all these things. So I've been trying to do, I did teaching also in Canada also. In fact, he invited me, and he invited other friends at his home to hear this Bhagavad Gita class, Srimad Bhagavatam class. But he himself wouldn't become a devotee, you know, wouldn't engage in that. But I can see his heart. His heart, I could see that he's a devotee, so he's a potential devotee. So to attract him back, I asked him, can you at least help me? Because I'm doing this teaching on the internet, and I need an IT expertise.
because a couple of my students there, actually Gopinath Prabhu is helping me a lot. This Kapil Prabhu is in Tokyo, Japan, they are helping me. So this my nephew in Toronto, Canada, he has that expertise in that. And now he is helping us and providing a very important software program which I could afford on my own. And he's helping. So see, he is helping me in that because I happen to be his mama. Okay? But look, now he feels great joy because I told him that you become a very, very important part of my mission. My mission is my Guru Maharaj mission. And my Guru Maharaj mission means Krishna's mission. So even a little time, that's what Krishna says here. When Hiranyaka showed that Arjuna, he said, Arjuna, become my instrument, Nimitta Matram. If you are not ready, then somebody else will become. But it is your great fortune that you agree to become my instrument. So that is how we become that. So my nephew is helping me. And that way, when it does, he'll be contributing tremendously. And Krishna, sitting in his heart also, unless his arrangement was there, this could have been possible. So that mercy is always there. But a devotional platform, we cannot make a single step forward without a devotee's mercy. But we somehow engage them, and then they suddenly begin to relish the taste. Same thing he might have been doing for his company, but he wouldn't be happy. His soul is not happy. Our soul is naturally happy when we do devotional service to Krishna. The soul's natural job, natural food is that Krishna consciousness. So that is the way to bring them. So this is what practically I see in my own life, how my nephew is turning. His wife and his mother were constantly asking me for the last 3 years, and I couldn't think of better reason. Now he's helping me by utilizing his technical expertise, his abilities that also endowed to him by Krishna. Krishna says in chapter 10, everything great, whatever ability we have, it also comes from him as super soul. How am I doing the time? It's now 8:15. Can we have any couple more questions or one question more? Maybe one question? Yeah, just one last question. What will be that fortunate person? See, asking question, as Parthasarathy Prabhu mentioned in his class towards the end, that asking question is also actually a devotional service actually. Pariprasthena sevaya. The entire Bhagavatam is nothing but questions and answers. Parikshit Maharaj asking questions, Sudeva Goswami answering questions, Vidur Mahatma asking questions, and Maitreya Muni answering questions. Continue all the way, because the sages of Naimishanya asking questions, and Sudeva Goswami answering. So these are the questions. By questions and answers, the knowledge gets propagated. Yes, Prabhu, that's right.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Now you mentioned that Yudhishthira Maharaj has no enemies.
Yes.
But how about this younger brother? What do you want to give everyone?
Anybody else want to help me here? Bhima was a... See, everything happened by Krishna's arrangement. Arjuna is a natural devotee, of course, you know. For him also there is no enemy actually. In fact, none of the Pandavas are really enemies. In fact, they sent Krishna, and my friend here, he knows better than me in Mahabharata, please correct me. But Krishna was sent as a messenger and with a leeway that Pandavas were willing to accept just five villages, because they were Kshatriya. Their dharma is to rule. Duryodhana said that for just five villages, I am not going to even share even the space that will occupy the tip of the needle actually. So they had no other recourse. That is the reason they had to go for war. Because Krishna, it was Krishna's plan. Krishna wanted to install Yudhishthira Maharaj as saintly king on the throne of Hastinapur. And he didn't want demonic personalities like Duryodhana and others like that. So they were not fighting the war because of their animosity, but because they wanted to fight on the side of justice. So that's another thing Bhagavad-gita teaches us. So it's not that we cannot have wars. Sometimes wars are necessary because justice must prevail on the side of the justice, you know. So it's not because of animosity Pandavas had to fight. Okay? So with that, again I thank you everyone, all of you, for your time. And please bless me that I can make progress in my devotional endeavors. Hari Bhagavan, Hari Krishna, all glories to Bhagavad Gita, all glories to Sri Prabhupada.
Jai Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.